All right, this is Tom Rowe with Free 103.9 talking to Annie Gosfield. And Annie, you're in Berlin now?
I'm in Berlin.
And what are you working on there?
I got a fellowship with the American Academy in Berlin, which is just a great experience. And I have a concert coming up on Wednesday as part of Märzmusik at Berghain on March 21st. And I am ashamed to say, still finishing up a piece for cello and electronics.
And we're here to talk to you today about, I guess your piece is called Reflections on Floating Messages, Conversations and Music with Annie Gosfield. Is your program on the Radio Network this week, an international network of radio art stations that include Free 103.9. And you recorded this in November at Sound Art Radio in Dartington in England. Is that right?
In Dartington, England, in beautiful Devon.
So tell us about the piece.
The piece was a long time in the making. It was inspired by the radio transmissions of the Danish resistance and of other European resistance groups in World War II. And the idea was to combine my electronic group with a more traditional chamber ensemble. Now, the subject of these clandestine radio transmissions is, it really works very well with music interpretation because you can think in terms of numbers and codes and permutations, or you can just use beautiful radio sounds. So this was exciting for me because I got to use a lot of sampled radio sounds as well as evoke the same ideas with the ensemble.
Are these radio recordings of the resistance, are they available on the internet, or is this research you had to do? Or
there are no. I could find no recordings that were original. There are snippets from the French resistance, from the program that was transmitted on the BBC, but I thought a lot also in terms of Morse code and things that were just broadcast, not commercially, not something that would be recorded, but from one resistance member to another resistance member via Morse code or via shortwave radio. So some of it has to be kind of imaginative as well. I also did a lot of work just getting a period shortwave radio, and a lot of my favorite samples that I got from the radio were actually as it was malfunctioning and the tubes were no longer working. But I thought in its own way that would be very evocative of the time as well.
So you were really trying to get use some period equipment that evokes what the sound of transmission was at that time.
Yeah. I mean, when I was first thinking about this project and shortwave transmissions, I just got a little transistor radio just to kind of start getting my ears around it. But, you know, obviously this is a very different sound than an old tube radio. So I ordered a tube radio on eBay and it was a little more as is than I expected. At the same time, it produced some very beautiful sounds.
And did your research, did you find, were there other ways that the resistance was communicating, you know, were there strange like cups and strings or other odd communication devices or methods?
Well, one thing that was fun about the Danish resistance in particular is they were really on top of it in terms of technology. And not to go too deep into the history here, but the SOE, you know, the English who were overseeing the resistance groups really wanted to keep a handle on the technology and try to keep it very consistent. But the people who eventually became Bang & Olufsen developed a much better radio to be used on site. I mean, there are also crazy weapons and all kinds of strange inventive things. And there were all types of communication. And, you know, a lot of the communications, probably most of the communications, is just junk and noise and stuff they put out there to keep German decoders busy. So they may not recognize the real message.
So it's kind of like the number stations, where you never know what the code is and what the noise is, I guess.
Yeah, it's totally, that comes out of the same tradition. And again, this is, for me, a really compelling idea to interpret musically, because you get something rising out of the noise. You know, you try to lock into that one message that isn't just chatter.
And so what are the kind of musical qualities that you're playing with?
Well, we were superimposing these two ensembles. There was my trio that was sampler, electric guitar, and Chris Cutler on drums and electronics. And this was more a source of noise and white noise and electronic sounds. And the acoustic ensemble, which is from Copenhagen, called the Atellus Ensemble, was more the source of more traditional electronic sounds, either sinfonietta. The Atellus Ensemble from Copenhagen was more the source of acoustic sounds, being a more traditional sinfonietta.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did they react to working with radio sounds, and what was their reaction?
You know, they were real sinfonietta. They took their cues from the conductor. I don't even know if they heard the radio sounds. It's so funny, because most of the project I do, everybody's so involved and they want to hear the sounds. This was like that step to a larger ensemble, and how they basically look to a leader and we do our own thing.
Yes, and I guess one final question. I don't want to keep you too long. How did you first get involved with radio in your work, and why are you interested in radio in your work?
I think I first got involved by listening to this old tube radio my parents had, and always trying to find the spaces between the stations, you know, the static. It's the same as watching TV when it wasn't tuned in, back when you could do that. And just listening to the white noise and the pink noise and the variations of sound, which I think was probably as big an influence on me as any composer or teacher. And then trying to bring this kind of aesthetic into my work is very natural. There's also a piece called Lost Signals and Drifting Satellites that's inspired by the transmissions that Sputnik, the satellite, made. And again, shortwave sounds and the idea of just a sky filled with satellite noise and people going out and listening to it very specifically.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to tell listeners about the radio show that is going to be on 11:30 a.m. Saturday on Free 103.9?
Well, I would just say the musicians involved are myself as composer and sampler player, Chris Cutler on drums, Roger Clyer on electric guitar, plus the Atellus Sinfonietta, and our fearless conductor was Pierre-André Vallade. And the entire project was overseen by Third Ear and Ed McKean in England, who really helped the project happen. And the recording part of it, the radio show that you're hearing, is also done in Dartington, England, by, you'll help me with the name of the company.
It's SoundArt Radio.
Sound Art Radio.
I think you worked with Lucinda Guy, probably.
Lucinda, yeah.
And it looks like Chris Booth and Ariane de Lanas. I'm mispronouncing her name, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work as a sound bite, but we worked with Lucinda and Ariane.
Ah, Ariane. Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Annie, for joining us today from Berlin. And we'll be listening to your floating messages and fading frequencies at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday on Free 103.9.